Friends, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus. On this LWML Sunday, we consider the theme from which the LWML has drawn its theme, the text from which the LWML has drawn its theme for this year, from Matthew chapter 6, our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. Again, Jesus said these words, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." God's Word. Please be seated. Well, as you know, I'm sure, the M in LWML stands for mission. And to be sure, the women of the LWML do absolutely mighty and fantastic things all around the globe in mission. At their convention this last summer in Iowa, the LWML set the goal of raising $2 million over the next 2 years for all of its global mission projects. And I hope you saw, we featured some of those projects in the slides before the service today. And I hope you'll go home and get on the internet and look up LWML and go and look at some of the projects that they are funding through their mighty mites. And the mites that our children brought here this morning will be added to that and become a part of that $2 million to do all of these great things. It is an organization so much worth supporting. But this morning, I think I'd like to focus mission just a little bit closer to home. Actually, quite a bit closer to home. This morning, let's change the acronym LWML, and I don't know that the ladies gave me the authority to do this, but I'm just going to do this anyway. LWML this morning stands for Let's Win More Locally. Let's win more locally. And I'd like you to take a moment, if you would, please, to think about one person in your life, just one special someone, with whom you would like to share the good news of Christ, or who you would like to invite with you to come to worship, if only you could get up the nerve. One special someone that you would like to lead to the faith. Whether that person has never been a Christian, or whether perhaps they are or were a Christian, but maybe they've fallen away and they've become slack about practicing their faith and being in God's house. One special someone to be your mission. Think just a second. Who would it be? Have you got somebody in your mind? Maybe a child or a friend of yours or a neighbor or maybe a niece or a nephew? Now let me ask you this. What is it that has you so worried that you haven't yet reached out to that person? And I don't mean that to be judgmental. I'm just asking the question. Why are we so worried about reaching those special someones? You know, the LWML pledge says, we consecrate every power of our life to the great task of bringing the lost and the erring into eternal fellowship with Christ, which is great when it comes to global missions and giving mites and so forth. But for some reason, when it comes to that special someone in my life who is first and foremost on my heart, why do I become so apprehensive about trying to bring them into eternal fellowship with Christ? And I think I can anticipate your answers, assuming none of you want to get up to this right now and talk about why that's so hard for you. But I'll assume that I think I know how your answers might go. You would say, Pastor, what worries me about reaching out to that person is that, well, I might not know what to say. Or if I say something, they might reject me, or they might be offended because I came across the wrong way, like I was being too preachy or maybe holier than thou. Well, friends, first of all, let's just acknowledge those feelings. I'm not going to stand up here today. I'm not going to get on my high horse and tell you, well, you just shouldn't feel that way. Because the truth is, I know how you feel. I deal with the same feelings. I don't want to be anxious about anything. I don't want to be anxious, as Jesus says in our gospel text. I don't want to be anxious about what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to wear or drink. And I certainly don't want to be anxious and worried about being an active participant out there in the Lord's harvest. I don't want to be anxious. But I am. So what do I do? Well, first of all, cling to the promises of God. Look outside of yourself. Look out of yourself for some assurance that no matter what happens to you out there in the harvest field, God is going to be with you. I've had doors slammed in my face. I've had people reject me and speak terrible things to me. But you know what? I survived. I'm still here. God was there with me. Didn't kill me. And you've got the promises of God to cling to. Here are a few of those gems of God's promises from verse 30 of our text today. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And if you need an answer to that rhetorical question, the answer is a resounding yes. God will supply your need. As you go about your life and as you work in His mission field, because we have infinitely greater value than the grass or the birds. And here is another gem of a promise for you from St. Paul, 2 Corinthians. He says, "The Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness.' Therefore," Paul says, "I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Are you weak? Guess what? God works through our weaknesses. And if I could share one more passage that you can apply to your worries about reaching out to your special someone, I would share with you the words from the lips of our Savior Himself in Luke chapter 12. When He was assuring His disciples as He was getting ready to send them out into the world as His witnesses, He said, "The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Friends, these are all promises, and there are so many more that you can claim. And on the strength of those promises, you can be Christ's witnesses to that special someone for whom your heart aches and whose salvation you desire more than anything else. And you know, the other thing that we just have to remember as we do this work is that we are, after all, children of our Heavenly Father. And our Father backs up His promises 100% of the time. He didn't just tell Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Elijah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Hosea and Joel and Matthew and Mark and Paul. He doesn't just tell us, "Hey, go seek the kingdom of God and my righteousness," and then leave the searching to us. No. You see, God the Father acted on His own admonition, and He provided by His grace that which is of first importance in our lives, that which we could never have found or sought on our own, His righteousness and His kingdom. It's not as though humanity had to take it upon itself to go out and find the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. We didn't even know we needed the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. And Jesus once said of His kingdom, you won't say, "Here it is," or "There it is over there, now go find it." No, He said, "For the kingdom of God is already among you and in you." The kingdom of God came to us in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. It is a kingdom of grace, God's undeserved love. It is a kingdom of righteousness, a righteousness that is not our own, but a righteousness that covers us, so that every sinner who believes and is baptized into Christ is covered with this righteousness and is reckoned to be righteous for Jesus' sake and a member of His kingdom. And again, this is accomplished not by our seeking it, but by His coming into our midst, by His dying as our substitute when He who had no sin became sin for us, so that in Him we might be the righteousness of God. So you didn't seek that kingdom, nor did I. You didn't find the righteousness of Christ, nor did I. The kingdom and the righteousness found us when the Holy Spirit called us by the gospel and enlightened us with His gifts and sanctified us, made us a holy people, holy, a people set apart for God and for His glory and His purposes. And now that you've been included in Christ's kingdom, now that you have been covered with the righteousness of your Savior, now that you've been regenerated and reborn to a newness of life, now there is a sense in which you do seek His kingdom. You see, Luther reminds us in his small catechism that God's kingdom comes when God gives us His Holy Spirit and we believe His Word and then lead godly lives according to that Word. So seeking the kingdom of God for yourself is really nothing more than availing yourself to receive God's Word, to receive the gifts that God has for you in the giving of the Holy Spirit, in the Word, and the sacrament, just like you're doing right now. You came here this morning seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and it is given to you in rich abundance. But we also seek the kingdom of God when we pray that that kingdom would come to other people, such as that person who you have on your heart and mind. Friends, don't be afraid to be a witness to that person. Please remember, every promise of God to you is yes through Christ our Lord. And when you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, will He supply every need of yours? Yes, in Christ, of course He will. And when you feel too weak for this mission, too feeble to do this soul harvesting work and to bring in the sheaves, will His power work through your weakness? Yes, in Christ, of course it will. And when you don't know what to say, will He be there for you in that very hour to teach you what you ought to say? Yes, in Christ. It is the distinctive mark of a Christian that he prays for the kingdom of God to come. And he desires more than anything that that kingdom would come to those who are outside the kingdom. And it's the distinctive mark of the Christian that she desires first and foremost that God's triumph over sin and evil would be extended to every human heart through faith in Jesus. So who is the special someone you have on your mind and your heart? My guess is, knowing all of you, you would seek that person's good in every way that you possibly can. If that person's good name was being trashed, you would stand up and defend them, wouldn't you? Guard their reputation. If they were being attacked, you would defend them. If they were grieving, you would give them all the comfort you possibly could, and you'd give them a shoulder to cry on. I know you would. If they were sick, you would visit them. If they needed your help, you would serve them. But if they are without Christ in this world, and they are destined to eternal death, do you also desire for that person the kingdom of God and the righteousness that can cover their sins and qualify them for the kingdom of glory? That's what that person needs from you more than anything else. LWML, let's win more locally. And like our sisters in the LWML, let's consecrate our hands to serve Him, our feet to go on His errands, our voice to sing His praises, our lips to proclaim His redeeming love, our will to do His will, and every power of our life to the great task of bringing the lost and the erring into eternal fellowship with Christ. Let's consecrate ourselves to continually seek His kingdom and His righteousness in word and sacrament, both for ourselves, but let's seek that kingdom also for your special someone. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.